All right. Well, good morning again. And we are we're kicking off a brand new series this morning. Before we jump in, though, let me just give a quick update from last week. So we finished up last week our Wide Open World mission series. We went through 3 weeks. And last Sunday, we took up our only public offering we take up in an entire year. And we said everything that was given last Sunday and everything given this whole week up through midnight last night goes towards our missions offering. So I can't give like a full update yet, because there's always, it takes some time. It closed at midnight last night. My extroverted self is dying inside because I just want to say, here's where we are. And I will give you a couple of things though. One, this campus, we said our goal was $110,000. We passed that on day one. So I thought... I got an update from our accounting team at like 3 p.m. on Sunday, and I thought it was a typo. I had to call them and say, wait a second, is this the real number? So just let me say, praise God, right? Praise God for what he's doing, and thank you for giving generously. Our staff has been celebrating that all this week, and so thank you. But we'll give a more full update next Sunday once we've kind of got the dust has settled and we've been able to account for everything. I will say too, our kiddos, right? Our kiddos collected money in tens over the course of the series. Here at this campus, our kids collected over $1,500, just our kids, and yeah, praise God, right? And over $6,000 across all of our campuses from our kids alone. And so we're praising God for that and celebrating the fact that those resources go out to our local partners, our domestic partners, our global partners, helping folks from this church get into the global mission field towards campus launching in the future and just trying to fulfill the Great Commission and do what Jesus told us to do. So praise God. And again, thank you as you prayed for that and gave towards that as well. One update, speaking of missions, so there's a disaster relief meeting on the 29th. I just want to note that this is the first time that we've ever really had a disaster relief team forming here. Part of our missions dollars goes towards disaster relief across the nation. And so we are forming a team here that's going to be able to respond to that. Chris Crothers is kind of leading that process. And so if you have the Lifeline Ohio app, you can go to the events and registration. You can register for that now. If you have any questions, you can reach out to Lindell Bell, our missions director. She can get you where you need to go, but just wanted to mention that as well, because it's the first time something like that is really forming here at a larger scale. All right, with all that said, this morning we're kicking off a brand new series that we're calling, as you can see, Practicing the Art of Becoming More Like Jesus. In this series, for the next 9 weeks, today and then the following 8 weeks, so pretty much all summer, we're going to be going through the spiritual disciplines, and not just going through them, we're going to be teaching through them, but practicing the spiritual disciplines. Let me define the spiritual disciplines, because there's a lot of different definitions of these. So here's one definition. The spiritual disciplines are practices, habits, or rhythms. Practices, habits, or rhythms that we engage in regularly for the sake of becoming more like Jesus. There are things we do, practices, habits, disciplines, rhythms that we engage in on a regular basis for the sake of becoming more like Jesus. Now, some folks, and I think there's some truth to this, will say, well, it can be that the discipline can be almost anything if in that thing you're worshiping. So if you say every week I clean the house and I clean the house to the glory of God and I sing to him, maybe that you say that's a spiritual discipline, the spiritual discipline of cleaning the house. In one way, yes, that can be. It can be worship. We'll talk about that in week 8 or week 9 when we hit worship. But in other ways, or in another way, the spiritual disciplines, there are some specific things taught in the Bible and modeled in the life of Jesus and in other men and women of faith that are the spiritual disciplines. So it's not just anything I feel like doing necessarily, though anything we do can be worship when done to the glory of God. There are some specific practices laid out in Scripture that we see again modeled in the life of Jesus and taught explicitly of do these things to stay connected to me. So here's what we're going to walk through over the next 8 or 9 weeks. We're going to be talking about Scripture meditation. I know that word, meditation. You can just bring all of these up, right? Meditation, we'll talk about that next week. I know some of us, you have a vision of what that looks like, and that's very scary to you. It's not scary. It's the study of God's word. It probably would include silence and solitude, prayer, fasting, Sabbath, and the overall concept of rest, community, being a part of God's people, service, generosity and hospitality, and we'll talk about why we're coupling those two things when we get to that week, and then worship. which again probably has a broad definition. This morning, though, what we're going to do, right? So that's where we're headed all summer. And each week, we're going to be practicing these things together as a church with the hope of seeing sort of the needle move a bit, the dial move up a bit, and hey, I've never done this before, and okay, let's do this together. Let's practice this the week of, and hopefully that becomes a regular practice in your life. Today, though, is introduction. Today is, how do we think about these things? We're going to introduce the spiritual disciplines and talk about big picture. How do we frame what we're trying to accomplish or why Jesus tells us to do these things? And so if you have a Bible, go to John chapter 15. That's where we're going to be this morning. In John chapter 15, Jesus, he's been talking about chapter 14, the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit, he's going to send the Holy Spirit. He talks about the Holy Spirit again in chapter 16. So it's no surprise, or it doesn't surprise me at least, that in chapter 15, Jesus gives us an image or a metaphor for spiritual growth. He says, how do you grow in the Spirit? And he talks about, as we're going to see, himself being the vine and us being the branches. And as long as we're connected to him, we grow spiritually. So John 15, starting in verse 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. There are some things in there we're not going to be able to cover this morning, but I think we'll hit the highlights here. John 15, 1 through 11. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. God the Father is another word for that is gardener. He's the gardener. He's the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. That word can also mean cleans. That it may bear more fruit. Verse 3, the reason I told you prunes mean cleans as well. It's a play on words here. He says, already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. And abides means to remain. Unless it remains in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus says, I'm the vine. You are the branches. We are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. I'm going to pause there just for a moment before I read 6 through 11. Just a word on spiritual growth and maturity. Up until probably a couple of years ago, I feel like the Lord walked me through a season where he helped me understand, Kale, you are viewing this wrongly. I had always thought, I had this notion that spiritual growth, that spiritual maturity, I had this thought that if I read my Bible and if I pray enough and I follow Jesus long enough, I'm going to become so spiritually mature. And the thought in my mind was, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be spiritually buff, right? Maybe because, physically not really there. And so like spiritually though, I'm going to be buff. And I don't know that I would have said it this way. But what kind of crept into that, my viewpoint was, I'm going to be so spiritually strong that like I won't need other people. I won't even need, and I would have never said this, but the thought kind of, I won't need the Lord. I'm going to be so spiritually mature that I'll be like independent. Look at how much I can do. Look at how spiritually strong I am. And I feel like the Lord reminded me and really showed me, Kale, you're viewing this wrong. Spiritual maturity isn't about look how spiritually strong you are. Spiritual maturity is about understanding how weak you are. That's a huge difference. Spiritual maturity isn't about you getting to this certain place of look at how strong I am. Spiritual maturity is you recognizing that apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. So the Apostle Paul says, right, in my weakness, the strength of God and the power of God is perfected. Jesus says, apart from me, you can't do anything. And if you want to be spiritually strong, if you want to be spiritually mature, then you need to understand just how weak and not independent you are, but how dependent you are on the Lord and on God's people. If anyone, verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. It's a reference to judgment. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, Jesus says, but if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Fruit in your life is proof of your relationship with God, he says. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. All right, let's go through a few things here. Number one, I want to highlight, we're going to go back. Jesus gives us this metaphor of he's the vine, we're the branches, but then he says, but my Father is the vine dresser, and he's pruning, right? He removes the dead branches. So number one, God removes dead branches. And this is one, it's a warning. It's a truth that we all need to hear. And you say, what does it mean? Well, it doesn't mean, I don't think, that you can lose your salvation, that you're in Christ, but then you better be careful, because if you're not producing enough spiritual fruit, God's going to come and remove you. No, I think Jesus is saying there, if you're not producing any fruit, if the branch is dead, if it's not producing any fruit, it's not really connected to Christ. You don't really have a relationship with him. And he says, God comes and removes the dead branch, and it's withered and it's burned, which is a reference again to the return of Christ and the coming judgment. And so if you're here going, well, I know I'm not connected to Christ, the Lord would say to you and Jesus would say to you, then turn. Turn from sin, and through faith, God grafts you into the vine and you get to grow and bear fruit. Turn and repent. But there's a particular warning, I think, because this is spoken to the people of Israel. There's also a particular warning to those of us who are here, and you would say, I would identify as a Christian. I mean, I grew up in the faith. I grew up around the faith. My parents are Christians. I think Jesus would say to us, okay, but are you bearing fruit? That's not a statement about perfection. All of us are going to have sin issues in our lives. All of us are going to need to be walking in repentance and confession to the Lord. But Jesus is saying, if you look at your life and you go, I mean, I call myself a Christian, but there's zero evidence of spiritual fruit in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I'm not growing in any of these things. There's no pattern of following Jesus or pattern of repentance. Like, what does Christianity mean to you? It's like, I don't know. I just call myself a Christian. And Jesus would say, then you're not really connected to the vine. If that's where you are, you're spiritually dead and under God's judgment. You say, well, what do I do about that? Same thing. You repent. Turn away from nominal Christianity and actually come to have a relationship with Jesus. Believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Trust him. Receive grace into your life, the Holy Spirit into your life. And then Jesus gives you an amazing promise. As you abide in him, guess what's going to happen in your life? You will bear fruit. You'll bear fruit and you'll see you begin to grow. But there's a warning here that shouldn't be overlooked, and that is that God removes dead branches. It's what John later on wrote a letter to the churches, and he says something very similar here. Listen to what he says in 1 John chapter 2. You don't have to turn there, but I'll put it on the screens. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, 4, 5, and 6. John, same guy who wrote this gospel, says, and by this we know that we have come to know him, know Jesus, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we're in him. Whoever says he abides in him, note the same language here, that he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. The point being here, it's the same thing we talked about a few weeks ago when we talked about faith and works. You can't divide the two. How are we saved? By grace through faith. What does faith produce in our life? Good works. And if you look at your life and go, there's no fruit, there's nothing being done for the Lord, there's no growing in Christ's likeness, then you need to ask yourself the question, do you know Christ? Because John says, if there's zero fruit and you're not walking in any way, shape, or form in pursuit of God, then he says, then you're lying to yourself. You're lying to the Lord, you're lying to others about your identity. Know Christ truly, turn to him and abide in him. God removes the dead branches. Number two, God prunes the fruit-bearing branches. God prunes the fruit-bearing branches, okay? The word there again can be cleans or prunes, but it's painful, but really good, okay? Pruning, if you're at all like a gardener type person, you know this, right? There are certain plants that when they grow, you go and you prune them, you cut away the dead stuff so that the stuff that's still living actually gets more of the nutrients so it grows better. We've got two rose bushes at our houses, and my wife has told me, she said, the one I picked off the dead stuff, and the other one I didn't. And it was fascinating to see how the one that we picked off the dead stuff looked healthier than the one that you just left the dead stuff. That's part of what happens when you pick away the dead things. But note the process there. You're pulling stuff off. You're cutting stuff off. It's, if the plant had feelings, it would probably say, that hurts. But you say, why is that a good thing? Because in your life, God is the gardener. The Father is the gardener going into your life and in your heart. And he is cutting away the things in you that are displeasing, the things in you that are of the old person, so that the new person can grow and grow and bear more fruit. Which means when you are going under trial, when you are suffering in the path of obedience, when you're looking at life and you're trying to pursue Christ and you go, this hurts. You've got a promise that, yeah, it hurts, but you've got a Heavenly Father who through that process is shaping you more into the person of Jesus. And at the far end of that process, as much as it hurts, you've got a good Heavenly Father who is clipping away the dead stuff in your life so that more of what he wants to see in you can grow. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's an incredible promise for when you're in the midst of that season of pruning. And you're going, Lord, why? This hurts. I don't like this. To hold on to that promise of my Father is cleaning away the dead stuff so that the good things can grow. Thirdly, Jesus says this, and this is one I want us to just take a step back and realize. This whole metaphor, vine and branches, pruning, growth, the whole metaphor is about how Jesus is the vine, which when you think about what Jesus is saying, it's actually rather astounding. Jesus is claiming, he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and you only live when you stay connected to me. Jesus just said, I am the source of all life and spiritual growth. And I want you to think about that for a moment. If you pull that up on the screen here, Jesus is the source of all spiritual life and growth. Have you ever considered just how astounding of a statement that is? That Jesus, sometimes, so some of us, this is new to you, and you're like, that isn't astounding. I mean, for Jesus to look at someone and say, I'm the only way. For others of us, we grew up in this, and you're like, yeah, Jesus is the source of life. Think about what Jesus is saying. Jesus just stood up in front of a bunch of people, all his followers, the crowds, and he says, okay, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And the only way, if you want spiritual life, if you want to be connected to God, if you want the life of God flowing through you, if you want to grow at all, here's the most important thing. Stay connected to me. Who says that? I mean, there's a lot of people. You open up the pages of history, you're going to see a lot of people and hear a lot of people going, I'm important. You'll hear a lot of people saying that they know. You'll have a lot of people saying they know the way. Here's the way. To enlightenment. Here's the way to heaven. Here's the way you need to live your life. Here's the way to have a good life. Here's the way to have a happy life. I mean, right now in our culture, there's a million different people telling you this is the way in which you should live your life. Jesus is the only person that I know of who is sane, who doesn't say, I know the way, but says what? I am the way. Do you realize the difference there? And how astounding that is. Jesus doesn't come to people and say, guys, I know the way you need to live. Jesus comes to people and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. None come to the Father except through me. Martha and Mary, their brother Lazarus dies. Jesus comes and he's about to raise him from the grave. And he looks at Martha, and Martha's weeping. And she says, my brother would have lived. And he says, do you believe your brother will rise again? And Martha's answer is, I know on the last day at the resurrection, he's going to come back to life. Jesus looks at her and says what? Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Your hope of life, your hope of growth, your hope for eternity, everything you ultimately want, life, joy, happiness, purpose, mission, life eternal, he says, it's found in me. Point being, and lots of people have made this statement, either Jesus is crazy or he's God. And Jesus says here, I'm the source of all life and spiritual growth. If you want to live, if you want to grow, he says, then abide in me. And note here, this is where we're going to get into some tension, okay? We're going to talk about what does it mean to abide? How do we abide in him? How do we remain in Christ? How do you stay connected to him? Because Jesus said, stay connected to me and you'll grow. And there's a tension inherent here, because notice Jesus doesn't, the command is not grow. The command is stay connected to me. The command is not go out and bear spiritual fruit. He says, no, stay connected to me and you will bear spiritual fruit. But there's a tension that exists here, because you say, well, how do we stay connected to him? I think when you look at all of the Gospels and the New Testament teachings, you stay connected to Jesus first and foremost by believing in him, by trusting him, by believing the gospel, going back over and over and saying, okay, it's not me, but it's Christ in me. I believe Jesus is the Son of God who died for me in my place, and that when I trust him, the grace of God flows into my life and I'm forgiven. I mean, that's how you remain in Christ, as you go back to the gospel over and over and over. But the tension is, Jesus also says, as you remain in me and you trust in me, part of that is obeying me. Trusting leads to obeying. Let me go back to verses 8, 9, and 10. Jesus has multiple times said, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me. And then he says this, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to me and my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. There it is again. And then what does he say? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Earlier we sang a song, right, about building our life on the rock on which I stand. Do you remember that Jesus said, the person who hears my words and doesn't do them is like the person who built their house on sand. But the one who hears my words and what? Does them, puts them into action, is the one who builds his life on the rock. So here's the tension. Never can we put the horse before the cart and say, okay, or the cart before the horse and say, okay, if I just do enough, if I do enough, then God will love me. We've gone over this over and over and over, and we're never gonna stop going over it. No, first and foremost, you trust Jesus, you abide in him. But if you're truly abiding in him, it means obeying him. If you're saying, I trust in Jesus, but you're not doing the things Jesus said, then you have to go back to, what does it mean that I say that I'm trusting in Jesus? And Jesus holds these two things up. The New Testament holds these things. Faith produces works. Trusting him and abiding him leads to us doing the things that he says. And it's actually a beautiful circle, because the more you trust him, the more you want to obey him. The more you obey him, the more you trust him, because you see how good he is and that Jesus said those things for a reason, which means the more you love him and the more you end up obeying him, and it becomes a beautiful circle in our lives. That's what the spiritual disciplines are about. Okay, you say, what does this have to do with the spiritual disciplines? As we embark on this series and we start saying, guys, let's pray, let's fast, let's open up the word. It is not about earning anything from God. I think it was Dallas Willard, I've heard this quote several times in the lead up to this series, who said, grace is opposed to earning. You don't earn things, you're not earning your salvation, but grace is not opposed to effort. And as we put in the effort and say, hey, we want to discipline ourselves for the sake of godliness, as we do these things, the spiritual disciplines actually help us abide in Christ. As we do the things that Jesus did and we do the things that Jesus said, they actually help us stay connected to the vine so that the life of God and the Holy Spirit can work in our lives and we see fruit born in our lives. And the tension here is that some of us are going to struggle a little bit because we like formulas. And others of us are going to struggle a bit because we hate formulas. And here's what I mean. Some of us are going to approach this series and you're going to be like, yes, I've been waiting for this. The spiritual disciplines. Just tell me what to do so that fruit can grow in my life. And you need to be reminded, abide. You need to be reminded of this, actually. I'm going to put it up here on the screens. You need to be reminded, all of us need to be reminded, spiritual disciplines support spiritual growth. They don't produce it. Spiritual disciplines support spiritual growth, support the growth of spiritual fruit. They don't produce it, though. Who produces fruit in your life? Jesus does. The Holy Spirit does. That's why in Galatians 5, Paul calls it the fruit of the Spirit. So if you approach this, if you're one of the people who says, just tell me what to do, give me the formula. If you approach the spiritual disciplines in this series going, I'm not abiding in Christ, I'm not doing these things out of my love for the Lord and his love for me. If you're not applying the gospel into your life, these things will exhaust you. You'll go into them and go, I just got to do, all right, now I got to fast. Now I got to pray. Now I got to read the Bible. Now I got to do some service. Now I got to show some hospitality in general. It will exhaust you. And honestly, you can end up just being a Pharisee. Pharisees were incredibly disciplined. Pharisees, guys in the Old Testament who incredibly disciplined, or New Testament, incredibly disciplined, and they missed the whole point. They did all the things, but they didn't do it because God loved them or because they love God. They were trying to earn their salvation. So for some of us, the tension here is you've got to remember, abide, abide, abide. And that's true for all of us. For others of us, the tension, you're going to approach the series and you already don't like this series. You're sitting here and you're like, discipline, right? Like, don't put me in a box, right? I'm a free spirit. I just want to love God and be loved by him. And listen, the spiritual disciplines are not a box. Maybe a helpful illustration. They're more like a trellis. If you're, once again, into gardening at all, a trellis is a structure on which the vine and the branches can grow. And it can actually grow more healthfully because it has some structure to it instead of just lying on the ground. Does the trellis produce growth? No. If you plant a trellis, nothing's going to happen. But if you build a trellis and the vine and the branches grow on it, it can help support the growth. The spiritual disciplines are like that in your life. They're helping you stay connected to the vine, and they're also providing some structure in your life. Structure, but which, by the way, Jesus himself had. And I know we're kind of mixing metaphors here, but like, Jesus is the vine, the one that all growth in life comes from, and he himself did all of these things. And I think it bears to reason, if you look in the life of Jesus and you go, I see prayer, regular times of prayer, regular times of fasting, regular times of worship, regular times of just time alone with the Father, meditating on the word, regular times of showing generosity and hospitality to people, I see Jesus serving others, I see him in community. It bears to reason, you and I as his followers who are saying, I want to be more like him, that we need all of those things in our lives as well. So again, for some of us, the challenge will be abide. It's not a formula. Don't approach these things as if somehow I'll just do the things and then that'll produce the fruit in my life. Abide in Christ. Do these things to be like him. And for others of us, you're going to struggle. And this is where I am a little bit, right? Where you're like, I don't like being put inside of a box. It's not a box. It is a good and biblical spiritual trellis for your life that helps you stay connected to the vine so that you see more of the growth and fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. Make sense? Right? All right. Let's finish with this. Just a few things to look forward to. And there's so much we could talk about here. If you're going, if I do these things, if I abide in Christ and I'm connected to him and I love him and I know how much he's loved me and out of his love for me, I do these things in my life. What do I have to look forward to? We could list off all the fruit of the Spirit. We could list out so many promises that God gives us. I'm going to mention just three. Rest, joy, and being shaped more and more by the love of God. Rest, joy, and love. Here's why I highlight those three. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus has this incredible statement, a couple of statements he makes where he says this, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, a yoke, it's the wooden thing they would put on oxen, right? You'd yoke them together. In the time of Jesus, a rabbi would say, take my yoke upon you. And it meant you were yoking yourself to them and you were taking on their teaching and their interpretation of the scriptures and you're walking with them. Does that sound like rest to you at first? I mean, when you hear it, take my yoke upon you. You're like, yeah, give me a yoke on my neck. Does that sound restful? No. And that's the paradox of what Jesus is saying. Hey, this thing that seems like work, if you'll take my yoke upon you, this thing that was heavy laden and you feel burdened, he says, here's the beautiful thing. When you yoke yourself to Jesus and you do the spiritual disciplines and you abide in him, even as you work, you actually find rest in him. even as you're doing things like I'm praying and I'm fasting and I'm trusting and I'm spending time in the word, and you go, that's work in some ways. And Jesus goes, yeah, but as you're following me and you're abiding in me, you're gonna find actually you get rest for your souls. And how many here can honestly say, yeah, that's the way I feel. I feel at rest at a soul level. Versus how many of us feel like, I feel busy, I feel hurried, I feel anxious, I'm fearful, I don't know which way is up, I'm just trying to get to the next day. And Jesus says, then come to me. Come to him. Put your faith in him, trust him, abide in him, and then do the things that Jesus did. Do the things that Jesus said. Discipline yourself for godliness is the way the Apostle Paul puts it. And what you're gonna find is as you take his yoke upon you, even as you work, you find rest. Apart from Jesus, you'll find that even as you try to rest, you still feel like you're working and it's never enough. Doesn't matter how long the vacation is. You get back and you go, I think I need another vacation. In Christ, you rest even while you work. Rest. Number two, joy. I won't spend long on this one because Jesus just said in verse 11, he said, I say these things to you that your joy may be complete. I don't know about you, but I want a life that is marked not by just temporary happiness, but a soul level joy. And Jesus says, come to me and you'll get it. In Christ, joy, your joy may be complete. And then finally, love. At the heart of the gospel, right? At the heart of the gospel, John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this. He should lay his life down for his friend. We live in a culture that defines love in a lot of different ways. Oftentimes very feelings-based. But Jesus said, at the heart of love is giving yourself for the sake of someone else. And Jesus did that. First and foremost, God gave his son, and Jesus gave his life for you and for me. If you really believe that and you really walk with him, you can't help but be impacted by that. And the more you walk with Jesus and align your life with his, the more the love of God shapes you to become a less selfish, more selfless person who loves God increasingly with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and who loves their neighbor as themselves. And church, I don't know about you, but I get excited. I'm excited for the series personally. Like, Lord, I want more of that in my life. I want to be a person. And my guess is you want to be a person that is shaped by the love of God, who loves God more and loves your neighbor as yourself. And I can't think, when you think about our city, our culture, broadly our society, what more could be needed right now than seeing a group of people who are shaped increasingly by the love of God? Let's pray together. Father, will you help us in this series as we walk over the next 8 weeks, Lord? For some of us, Lord, guard us from thinking this is a formula. Guard us from pursuing these things apart from you. The whole purpose of them is to stay connected to you. On the other hand, Lord, for some of us, this will be hard. It'll be the first time that we're taking steps towards disciplining ourselves for godliness. Lord, help us, please. Remind us that while the gospel is opposed to earning, it is not opposed to grit, to effort. That faith produces these things in our lives. God, help us. Jesus, help us to walk in the way in which you walked. And Father, we stand on the promises that as we do these things in faith, to abide in you, from abiding in you, through us, God, you'll produce fruit. Can I encourage you just to take a moment right now to pray? And as you think about the spiritual disciplines this summer, whatever's on your heart, whether it's, oh Lord, guard me from the formula, or Lord, help me with discipline, or just Lord, help me to abide in you today. And take time to pray. Continue to pray. I just want to speak to any of us who are here this morning and you don't yet have a relationship with Jesus. I hope you'll be with us this summer. I hope you'll learn with us what is often called the way of Jesus. What does it look like to walk like he walked? But it starts with abiding in him. It starts with a relationship with him. Jesus said again, "Come to me, all who are weak and weary, and I will give you rest." If you're here today and you've never experienced that rest, but you're ready to take a step and trust him with your life, I want to give you that opportunity right now to start that relationship. If you're ready, to turn from sin and trust Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, you pray with me. God, today I turn away from my sin. I ask forgiveness. And Jesus, I place my faith in you as the crucified and resurrected Son of God. And from this day forward, I want to walk with you. I want to take your yoke upon me, and I want to find in you that rest. Jesus, my life belongs to you from this day and forevermore. God, we thank you, as we always do, that when anyone prays that prayer and they pray it in faith, you answer. Lord, we love you. We ask for your grace this summer. Jesus, make us more like you. We ask it in your name.